How you doing?
Good.
That's a little better. Good to see everybody. My name is Leo, the husband. My wife, Nancy, is going to be speaking to you in a moment. And we're from Plymouth, Massachusetts, America's hometown. Anybody ever heard of the Pilgrims?
Yeah.
Anybody ever heard of Jamestown?
No.
Okay, well, Jamestown. Jamestown was in Virginia, was founded in 1608, and we were founded in 1620. But Plymouth called America's hometown. Now, why would that be? The reason for that is we came as families. Jamestown did not. Jamestown went there to strike it rich. We came as families to start a society. And as you all know, you can't start a society without the family. So the reason I'm called Leo the husband is because my wife and I talk about the family and that what makes Plymouth so different. You all know we're celebrating our 400th anniversary in Plymouth. We came 400 years ago. I'm using we very loosely, I wasn't there. I'm a modern pilgrim, okay? I'm not 400 years old. But we came 400 years ago as a family, women and children. And when we got off the Mayflower in Plymouth Harbor, we didn't get attacked by the Indians because women and children got off the Mayflower. So it's very important that we came as families. The difference again between Jamestown is us. They came to strike it rich. We came to build a society. So we brought women and children. Very important. But what happens is people ask me a lot about what I'm supposed to address today is how did the pilgrims make friends? And making friends is a very interesting thing to do. And the way pilgrims made friends is through the family. See, you guys, you're going to learn to be a good civil servant, a good person in society by what you learn in your family. That's where you learn how to do all kinds of things like be disciplined. You get educated in your family. You learn economics in your family. So in the family unit, that is where we learn to be good civil servants. And so that's what the pilgrims did. They came to Plymouth as families because the family unit is the most important unit ever. You guys, your mothers and fathers, incredibly important. But we have to have that family based on biblical principles, right? And those biblical principles are what founded our country. We came to Plymouth and we left England and we separated from the Church of England because the King of England wanted to control us and tell us how to worship. So we wouldn't go for that. We left and we formed our own church. We separated from the Church of England. That's why we pilgrims are called separatists. And when we did that, we formed a church. But when you came to that church, see, King James, the King of England, if you lived in England, then you had to belong to his church. You had no choice. But we formed our own church, which was kind of illegal. We pulled away. And when we formed our own church, we made a covenant with each other. And guys, what a covenant is a promise under God that you're going to do something. In other words, when you make a covenant promise, God is your witness. So you better take it pretty seriously, right? So we made this covenant that would form a church politic where we would all honor one another under God. Now here's the thing in our church. You didn't have to belong to it like you did have to belong to King James's church. You didn't have to belong. But if you're going to belong to our church, you're going to follow our rules. But you don't have to come. And that's how we built our community. We started a biblical community. We based our rules on biblical law, formed a church, and then what happened is we had to leave England and we came here after we went to Holland. And right here, we made another covenant called the Mayflower Compact. The Mayflower Compact is the first document of self-rule in our country. Well, we ruled ourselves because we didn't believe someone should be a king. Nobody should be above anybody else without their consent, right? That's biblical. So we came here and we formed a body politic where we were in charge, not the king. See, we people, us pilgrims, we believe that there's no earthly king. There's only one king, King Jesus. And that's who we follow when we follow his laws. So what we're talking about is you learn to be a good civil servant in the family. And why is this so important? Because when people ask me, how did the pilgrims make friends? They made friends by being a good civil servant, by learning how to behave in public and behave in public through the family with biblical law. Kind of sounds weird in how to make friends, right? Yeah. But here, Do you know that, again, our pilgrims left England, we went to Holland for 12 years to worship freely, and then we came to Plymouth. In Holland, we were foreigners. We couldn't get good jobs. We had to work 15 hours a day just to put food on the table. But you know what happened when we did that? The pilgrims worked so hard, and they were so honest, that they could get jobs before anybody else. Because they were honored by their ethic that they learned in their family. Now guys, when you have a biblical family, when your parents are Christians and you're Christians and you listen to your family, you learn how to be a good civil servant, okay? So what we need to do is understand that we get our principles from the Bible. And once we do that, you're going to be able to make friends. And I'll tell you why. Again, they were so good at what they did, they were honored by the foreigners. And when we came here, we had a little issue with the Indians. How do you become friends with the Indians? Well, what happened with the pilgrims? Their pastor, John Robinson, being a biblical scholar, was reading the Old Testament. And he came across a passage called the Dominion Charter, where to take dominion over the earth, over the animals, birds, fish, things that creep and crawl. But he also read this, not each other. See, God, he figured we were all made in the image of God. And if that is the case, no human being has a right to be above another human being without their consent. You see, guys, biblical law, civil government, is a biblical principle. You cannot have the government we have today without biblical law. And what happened then? Well, if we're all equal under the law, that means all, including the Indians. We signed a peace treaty with the Indians that lasted 55 years. The longest lasting peace treaty with the Indians in our country's history. And that lasted that long because of who the pilgrims were. They honored their word. They could be trusted. You see, we were made all equal under the law. Well, guys, did they test what they were saying? We opened a business down where we have a place called the Cape Cod Canal today. We opened a business, the first public, privately held business in the country, where we traded equally with the Indians. We treated them as equals. And that, because of that, you can make good friends. So we treated them as equals, and that lasted for 55 years. You see, we honored that. Now what happened in the end? After 55 years, we had a friend of ours down there called Massasoit. He was the chief of the Wampanoag Indians. He's the man we signed a peace treaty with. Without Massasoit, the pilgrims would not have survived. But also keep this in mind, 3 years into that peace treaty, Massasoit, keep in mind back then, the Wampanoag Indians lived in Plymouth, and they lived on Cape Cod, and they lived in New Bedford, and they lived in Rhode Island, and Massasoit was chief of all of them. A very important man. But 3 years into that peace treaty, Massasoit was at his camp in Rhode Island. The man had the plague. He was dying. A gentleman from Plymouth by the name of Edward Winslow put some herbs together, and Ed Winslow walked to Rhode Island to nurse Massasoit back to health. Winslow walked 40 miles. Halfway there, he was met on a path by an Indian who told him not to bother finishing the trip. Massasoit died. Well, he finished the trip anyway, and he discovered Massasoit had not yet died. He was very close. And Ed Winslow nursed him back to health. From that day forward, they were great friends, and the peace treaty was even stronger. Now we'll move ahead 50 years. 50 years later, we had the King Philip War. Guys, King Philip was not a European. He was Massasoit's son. His Christian name was Philip. He went to negotiate not to go to war with the then governor of Plymouth, Josiah Winslow, Edward Winslow's son. While they're negotiating, Philip said to Winslow, he says, "Hey, I'm a chief. You're just a governor. I'm not going to talk to you. I'll only talk to kings." They broke off the negotiations and went to war. From that day forward, Philip was referred to as King Philip because he would only talk to kings. And the two men who became great friends, their two sons, went to war a generation later. That's what ended the peace treaty. You see, when we learn biblically how to be good servants, there are some people who are learning not to be. What I'm trying to tell you guys is that if you live by biblical law, you can make friends because people understand where you're coming from. Making friends doesn't mean you don't have laws and you don't have rules. You do, but they're fair for everybody. And when you do something that's fair for everybody, you're going to make friends because nothing comes by surprise. Keep in mind, when you do something like the Pilgrims did in Massasoit, people say, well, Massasoit must have had self-interest. He signed a peace treaty with us because he got something out of it. That's true. But so did we. See, guys, sometimes self-interest isn't such a bad thing, as long as you keep in mind who you're having it with. So the whole thing comes down to this. When we're talking about friends and biblical law, we have to follow the number one commandment. The number one commandment is love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. Because no matter what you do, if you don't do that, you're not going to make friends. Because you'll take advantage of people. So when we follow these biblical principles, we make friends. That doesn't mean we don't have conflict. Because you have to set rules. When we wrote the Mayflower Compact, you could be part of Plymouth if you wanted to, but if you didn't want to, you could leave. But if you're going to be part of Plymouth, follow the rules. That's only fair, as long as you know what the rules are. Because when they change in the middle of the stream, you got a big problem. See, what happened with that next generation? They didn't follow the rules. They didn't pass the biblical education you guys are learning to the next generation. And what happened? We had a war, King Philip's. And in that war, the largest percentage of population was killed in that war than any war in our country's history, and it could have been stopped. That's how important education is. That's how important loving each other and loving God and loving yourself is. So guys, the lessons we learned from the Pilgrims are not how to eat turkey and wear hats with buckles. The lesson we learn from Pilgrims is how to live our lives honestly. When you come to Plymouth and you see what they did, this is a human story. Guys, this isn't a textbook. These people were real. And they did real things. And they made real mistakes. But they also did some incredibly, really good things to teach us lessons on how to get along. But you have to learn those biblical principles. We had folks on that boat that were great, but we also had another family called the Billington family. Now, guys, when I talk about the Pilgrims and I talk about their faith and who they were, they separated from the church, half the people on the Mayflower were not separatists. They were coming for other reasons. So we had two groups of people. We had the separatists who were grounded in the Bible and the other group who were grounded in what they wanted. And one of those families was named Billington. And the Billington family had a husband and father and a mother and two boys, John and Francis. Well, when the Mayflower pulled into Provincetown Harbor, the original landing place, the two boys were playing in the hold of the Mayflower with gunpowder and they almost blew the boat up. When they came to Plymouth, one of the boys, Francis, came into town, climbed a tree, looked out and saw a body of water. He said, oh, there's a body of water. We must be on an island. There's the sea. It wasn't the sea. It was a pond, a lake that feeds our river that we live on. So to torment the poor little kid for the rest of his life, they named the pond Billington Sea, and we still call it that today. But keep in mind, these guys were not following the Bible. They were doing their own things, and other things happened. Their father, John Billington, was the first person executed in Plymouth. He was hung for shooting a man over a land deal. Not a good guy. Here's the killer. The tree he was hung on was the same tree his son climbed when he found Billington Sea. See, if you follow biblical law, you make friends. When you don't make friends. Francis and John Billington did not make friends. They were not good guys. Edward Winslow was a great guy. He was our diplomat to the Indians. You see, guys, when we signed that peace treaty with the Indians, we live in a place where we're right on a river. On one side of us is a hill called Watson's Hill. On the other side, Burial Hill. Burial Hill is where the plantation was. And when we first met Massasoit, we looked across to the other hill, Watson's Hill, and there's Massasoit with a group of Indians. So we said, why don't we come over and sign a peace treaty? He said, okay, I'll be there. Give me a hostage. I want some one of you to stay here till I come back so I make sure I get back. That hostage was Edward Winslow. So during that negotiation for the peace treaty, Edward Winslow was over here as a captive of the Indians. Once the peace treaty was taken care of, they got back together. Ed Winslow came over here and we signed the peace treaty. Edward Winslow was also that man that hailed Massasoit from the plague. Great friends. But what we need to do is pass that biblical education, like you guys are learning, to the next generation, so you guys do the same thing. Because what happened is Edward Winslow's son, Josiah Winslow, wasn't what his father was. He wasn't that great. He didn't learn those biblical lessons. And the result was the King Philip War. So guys, it's distinctive on what you can see. It's distinctive on how you live your life. And there's a big difference. Are you guys going to make mistakes? Of course you are. But the thing is, what do you do with your mistake? How do you fix it? Are you going to listen to your parents? I hope so. That's where you're going to learn. And then once you learn it, are you going to pass down to the next generation? I hope so. See, if we let that biblical education skip a generation, we've got a problem. We've got trouble. Today I feel trouble. Us old people. We haven't done the job to pass to you what you need to know. Not you guys. I know you're getting it. But now it's up to you. No pressure. All you have to do is save the world. See, that's how important education is. Biblical education, you're exactly where you need to be. And then you need to get out there and talk about it to other people. It is that important. Learn how to behave in public. Learn how to be disciplined. You see, we started civil government, guys, where people got to vote for their leaders, and we were in control. No more tyranny except in one place, the family. You guys didn't get a chance. You didn't get a vote, not until you are taught by your parents how to behave in public, how to make a right choice. Then you get up to a place where you have a free choice, but not until you learn that. And you learn that in a biblically based Christian family. Incredible story, the Pilgrims. I hope all you guys get to come down and see me sometime. See my wife. See where this story happened. We have a place right on a nice little river. It's the reason the Pilgrims stayed where we are. The river's called Town Brook. And they stayed on Town Brook because that offered them three things. Town Brook's a mile and a half long. But the three things that the Pilgrims got from Town Brook are this. They got all the fresh water they could drink because Town Brook is spring-fed. See, Town Brook never loses its water, always got spring boiling up, so we got fresh water all the time. And another thing is that if it never rained in Plymouth again, the water level will never drop because of the springs. Also, Town Brook, over a mile and a half, drops 80 feet, which makes it a really good place to put a mill. My wife and I ran the grist mill in Plymouth, the oldest mill in the country, for 10 years, because you get that water power. Another thing is, the sandy soil in Plymouth is good for filtering that sand, that water, but it's not good for growing corn. So we have to fertilize heavily. The river supplies our fertilizer. Our fertilizer are fish. We call them herring. Herring live in the ocean, but when they spawn, when they have their babies, they have them up in our pond. So every spring they swim by the mill. The Pilgrims take them out of the river, put them in the ground, fertilize, and grow the corn. Oh, by the way, they did go upstream for 6 weeks this spring. We had a little over 240,000 fish go by the building. For 6 weeks, you cannot see the bottom of our river. It is solid fish. All the fertilizer, water power, and fresh water they could use, all supplied by one river, and they were 200 miles off course. When I tell people that, people look at me and say, boy, were they lucky or what? You know what I say to them, or what? They would have called that the providence of God, God working in their lives. Happened then, still happens today. All we have to do is look for it. Making friends doesn't mean you just do anything they want. Making friends means they know where you come from. You do not change who you are. You do not compromise. You stay strong, and people can understand what you do because we stand by our principles. And the principles you guys are learning now are the same principles the Pilgrims taught, that we need to keep going. We need to be a light in the community. And that does not mean we be put out by people who disagree with us. People disagreeing with us has nothing to do with being friends. You want to be an honest friend? Be honest. Stand firm. Love your neighbors as you love yourself. But loving one another does not mean letting you do whatever you want. And that's what you learn in the family. There are disciplines. There are ways to behave. And if you do not behave those ways, there is a consequence. The Billingtons paid a consequence. They did not behave the way they should behave. Josiah Winslow paid the consequence. But the pilgrims, they loved their neighbors. They loved the Indians. And they stood firm in what they did.